You're listening to 1 minute and 43 seconds, a true Unsolved Mysteries podcast.
The case I want to talk to you about today is one that is very popular among the true crime community. And he's also been dubbed as, quote, the most famous missing person on YouTube.
Really?
And that's because there was surveillance footage that was associated with his disappearance. That's very strange.
Oh.
And it's been viewed over 16 million times, allegedly.
Okay.
This is Lars Betank. I just like to give an image when I'm explaining something.
Yeah.
I feel like it's helpful.
Young, attractive. Yeah.
Yes. Very, very handsome guy. So Lars Betank, he was a German man who disappeared in 2014.
Okay.
And his story is very interesting for a number of reasons. But he was born in 1986 in Berlin, Germany. He lived there for his entire life in Itzehoe. He worked at a power plant. He had a girlfriend. He had a lot of friends. And he was described as just your normal guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
In June of 2014, he traveled to Bulgaria with five of his friends for like a holiday, which is the European way of saying a vacation.
Sure.
It was actually his first time out of Germany.
Oh.
So they vacationed at a place called Golden Sands, which was like a seaside resort. And from all accounts, they had a really good time. Lars was seemingly relaxed, according to his friends. There was nothing abnormal at first. Other than the fact they said he didn't really eat a lot, but that's unclear if that's related to what happened to him.
Okay.
So on July 6th, this was the day before they were supposed to go back to Germany together. Mm-hmm. The group of friends went to a bar, and it said that Lars got into an argument with some people over a football game.
Okay.
Yeah. So his friends, I guess, left. At some point, the friends and him parted ways. But Lars showed back up at the resort the next day, and he had let them know that they had basically beaten him up. Like, four men had beaten him up after leaving the bar, and it had to do with this argument he had over sports.
Oh.
Which, why do people get so heated over it? Can you explain that to me?
I don't know.
Am I missing something?
I mean, people, I don't know. They just get really possessive over their sports team. But really, it's just people wearing a certain color of clothing and playing a game.
I don't know. But yeah, so he shows back up the following morning. So I guess they part ways the night before, but he shows back up the next day and lets them know what happened. And he actually, because of this fight, had an injured, his jaw was messed up.
Oh.
And he had a ruptured eardrum.
Hmm.
And because of the ruptured eardrum, he was not permitted to fly.
Really?
Yeah, because you know how when you're on a plane and you like, the air pressure changes and like your ears pop and all that. Apparently it's like, it would have been bad for him to do that. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So
medical advice for him to not
fly. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I should have specified that, but he saw a doctor, who told him not to fly, and he was prescribed, an antibiotic called Sefprozil. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, but his doctor told him not to fly. So his friends were due to fly home the next day. They wanted to stay with him, and he insisted that he was fine and that they should go on. So they left. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now he's in Bulgaria by himself. He checked out of the resort and stayed at a different hotel. It was cheaper and closer to the airport. So he figured, like, get this over with or whatever.
Sure.
As soon as his friends left, or like a day after, it said that he started to act paranoid.
Okay. Who noticed him acting paranoid?
Well, so he was at the hotel and he called his mother. And he was like kind of whispering to her on the phone and saying, like, people were out to get him, or people were trying to kill him or rob him.
Wow.
And he had asked her on the phone to cancel his credit cards. There was security footage that was released later that showed him pacing the hallways, mm-hmm. acting very like on edge or paranoid. At 1 o'clock in the morning, he left the hotel and he came back about an hour after that. But nobody knows what he did within that hour. The next day he calls his mother and says, the people that were after him were, quote, getting closer.
Oh.
So I don't know, like, how his mother is feeling about this. Because I feel like if I'm hearing that call, like, somebody I love on the other end saying something, you know, I don't know. It's just, that would be unsettling, at least. Like,
oh, yeah.
His friends returned on July 7th, right?
Okay.
Now, I'm surprised. I was surprised to read this, but I guess on July 8th, he was permitted to fly home. So he's last seen at the airport, which is crazy. Like, there's surveillance everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. So he's seen at the airport on July 8th. He was hoping to fly home that day. He let his mother know that he had reached the airport. And apparently he went to speak with an airport doctor, which I'm guessing was part of his plan all along. Like, hopefully this person would, like, clear him to fly home.
Yeah. I didn't know an airport doctor was a thing.
I didn't either, like, at all. But apparently in Bulgaria it is.
Okay.
So this guy's name was Dr. Kosta Kostov. And he said that Lars was acting very nervous and erratic. Okay. Those were his exact words.
Mm-hmm.
Lars insisted that he was fine and he should be able to return home. But still, Lars, like, would not leave this doctor's office.
Oh.
And he was apparently not sure that the medication he was taking was working. So those two statements are kind of contradictory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, on one hand, you're saying I'm fine and I can return home. And on another hand, you're saying you don't think the medication is working. I don't know.
Yeah. If you really wanted to get home, you think you'd just say, yeah, it's working. Let me go home. And then I'll see a doctor when I get home.
Right. And I mean, what's the travel time from Germany to Bulgaria? I don't even know. Let me look this up. All right, I'm no expert, right? But this looks like it would be like a 3-hour flight or something.
Okay.
Anyway, it's Europe, so it's basically like the size of the mall.
Right, exactly.
No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so we're not talking a long, long flight here, like a international. Like, I mean, it is international, but you know what I'm saying.
Sure, yeah.
So he's in the doctor's office. Somebody entered the office. Apparently there was construction going on in the office, in this doctor's office in the airport, because they were doing renovations. And a construction worker came in. And at the time the construction worker came in, Lars freaked out. He started to shake and get really upset. And he started yelling that he didn't want to die here. And then he had to get out.
Oh.
So he gets up, he leaves all of his luggage behind and he starts running. He bolts out of the airport.
Wow.
And this was actually caught on surveillance camera. So I'm going to show you that now. Okay.
Okay.
It's a 43-second video, and it shows Lars Metank at the Varna airport, the moment he's last seen.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's the good thing about airports, right? There's surveillance cameras everywhere.
Everywhere, yes. So they were able to track him all the way out of the airport.
Exactly. Now, he basically, as you saw, he took off. He's jogging away. He climbs a fence and he runs off towards a forest near a highway. Mm-hmm. And this is the last time Lars has ever been seen.
Wow. First impressions. So you said a construction worker walked into the doctor's office.
Yeah, because they were undergoing. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm pretty confident that wasn't a real construction worker.
Oh my God.
I think that whoever was after him, probably one of the guys who beat him up, got into a construction worker uniform to get into
the airport.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. No, this is really good because this is not what I thought you would say.
Okay. What did you think?
My thought was that he, whatever fight he got into, caused some sort of mental thing. Either that or the drugs that he was taking, like the whatever. Now, look, disclaimer, I'm not a scientist. I don't know how this affects your brain, but like if he was beaten severely or whatever, you would think that could affect your state of mind, right? So sure. my thought was that he was just very paranoid. And he thought everything around him was a threat.
Yep.
That was my thought. So I was interested to hear that you thought differently.
I could definitely see that. But it's just how quickly he changed. It makes me feel like whoever is after him was that guy. Because it's easy enough to just get into a construction worker disguise, blend right in. That would have been a really easy way to try to get him in the
airport. Okay, but can I counter you, though?
Yes.
See, this is why I picked this case, right? Because this is basically all the information we have. There might be a few more little details here. But anyway, what I was going to say is that, like, you think he got in a fight over sports on some random night out with his friends. And these people are dedicated enough. First of all, they don't know who the guy is. How are you going to follow? You're going to follow him for what? A day? It looks like it was a day or two. 2 days. The fight supposedly happened on the 6th. He was at the airport on the 8th. You're telling me somebody was after him to the point where they followed him to his hotel, followed him till the airport, dressed up as a construction worker, in an airport doctor's office just to like get at him because of an argument over a football?
Well, to try to kill him. But I feel like this
had Sorry. Go ahead.
I feel like this had to have been more than just football. Even just from the beginning, he was so severely beaten by 4 guys so he had a ruptured eardrum and then what else?
His jaw was messed up, but I'll read you exactly what this says here. Yeah, and I am looking at the Wikipedia page.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
But I wonder if there was more to it than just sports, because that's a lot to fight about.
All right, let me read this excerpt, if I could.
Okay.
On July 6, 2014, the day before they were supposed to return home, Metank and his friends were at a bar in town, and Metank got into a disagreement with some other German nationals over football.
Mm-hmm.
Metank, a fan of the football club Werder Bremen, had differences with fans of Bayern Munich. He then parted from his friends outside a restaurant after leaving the bar and disappeared for the rest of the night. Metank turned up at the resort the following morning and told his friends he was beaten up by 4 men hired by the group in the bar, whom he disagreed with the night before. The fight resulted in Metank suffering an injured jaw and a ruptured eardrum. He went and saw a doctor who advised him not to fly due to his injury.
Okay.
So there's a lot of questions. Like, okay.
Is it really plausible that these guys would hire
four That's what I'm saying.
To go beat him up over a football dispute?
That's what I'm saying. Is it that serious? Like, look, if I'm arguing over music or some kind of something that I'm a fan of, let's say, that I'm opinionated about, right?
Yeah.
I'm literally going to, the most I'm going to do is get annoyed.
Yeah.
It's not worth it to me to even lay a hand on somebody. I don't care how drunk, but that's me. I mean, I'm not going to fight you over something like that. Like, there's nothing you're going to say to me. I'm just not that invested, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I do think that testosterone makes people more aggressive. But even then, like, I think about the men in my life also are not going to do that. They might do more than I do, but they're not going to.
Like, the most I can see is, like, yelling at someone or words being exchanged. But, like, is it that serious? You're going to, number one, you're going to fight them. Who's hiring people over football?
Yeah. So we know. So we only know this because he told his friends that's what happened.
Correct.
His friends did not witness the fight. Right?
Right. Correct. You're right.
So we only have it from his mouth. So something else could have happened, and that was just the lie that he told his friends. Maybe he got himself involved in something really serious. I don't know what.
That's a good point. And I would be inclined to believe that because...
Like, he really f***ed up and now he wants to... Like, he doesn't want his friends to know that what he did was really stupid. And so he says, well, these guys are after me, but it's just because of that fight. You know, it's not my fault. These guys are just really, really upset about football. But really, there's more to it.
Yeah. So this other article I'm reading from allthatsinteresting.com says some told authorities that Metank was beaten by the same group of men he clashed with inside the bar, while others claimed that the men had hired a local to do the job for them. But I absolutely would agree with you. I mean, I think that's a possibility that there's something missing.
Mm-hmm.
And he told his friends, like, his friends said they wanted to stay with him, right? And he's like, no, I'm fine. Go ahead.
Yeah.
So it's like, that could be an indication that he's trying to distance himself from his friends about something.
Yeah.
He's either trying to protect them or he doesn't want to, like you said, like, tell his friends whatever happened.
Well, and if he is suffering some sort of mental break because, I mean, maybe as a result of the beating, it's odd that it would kick in kind of when it did, because it feels like it kind of escalated. I guess I don't know enough about how the brain works or how brain injuries work to know if that makes sense.
Yeah. Basically, people don't agree in this case. Like, there's no common consensus between doctors and anybody else, whether the way he was acting was rooted in reality or if it was something mental he was suffering. A rare side effect of the drug he was prescribed can induce psychotic effects, such as hallucinations or paranoia, but it's a rare side effect. But the doctor apparently said he didn't take those antibiotics. He didn't even fill out his prescription. So his behavior couldn't have been a result of that.
Oh.
I can't think of a single reason why he left my office in such a panic. I'm still confused. His mom said that he didn't have any history of mental illness. But she's not in complete disagreement that it could have been something undiagnosed that manifested itself. Who knows? You know, maybe it was his first time traveling abroad. I don't know if that's like a big deal to people. Maybe it wasn't like to him, but I mean, that's a big life event, right? Traveling somewhere. Yeah.
That's like, true. Yeah. How old was he again?
So in 2014, when he disappeared, he was 28 years old.
28. Okay. All right.
Police tried to look for like people in hospitals that may have matched his description, and they didn't find anything. His family hired a private investigator.
Yeah. So the other thing is, if it was just some sort of psychotic break, where is he? Seems like there are other people involved for him to be missing.
Well, if he ran into the wilderness, isn't it possible he could have succumbed? I don't know much about the Bulgarian wilderness, but.
Yeah, but then you think someone would have found his body? I don't know. Did they look in there? I'm assuming, since there's footage of him running into the forest, that they searched the forest.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure they did. And if he just
come to the wilderness, I don't, like, his body's just not going to be impossible to find.
Yeah, but depending on time and animals and
yeah,
how dense the forest is, or did he even go into the forest, or did he get a ride from someone on the highway?
That could be. That's a good point.
But yeah, this is a popular one. I mean, just the way he ran out of the airport, I think, is really haunting to people. I mean,
yeah, he books it. It's very abrupt.
And he leaves his luggage and everything, all of his stuff, he leaves it behind. Yeah, that's basically all we have. I mean, I could go through all the sightings, but I don't know how worth it that would be. Like in 2019, which would have been 5 years after his disappearance, there was a German truck driver who gave a hitchhiker a ride and said that he became aware of the case later and said that the guy resembled an older version of what Lars might have looked like. Again, I don't put much weight on that, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. That's a lot of speculation.
But yeah, he's been missing for 8 years now.
Wow. So I wonder if he's alive and on the run.
But why? I feel like you and I differ from in this case.
Yeah.
I feel like you think he is on the run or is being hunted by someone. And I'm more in the camp that he developed some sort of mental something in the process of this whole whatever happened. What happened that night? That's what I want to know. Where was he after the whole thing in the bar, and then he came back the next day? Like, were his friends concerned where he was that night?
Yeah.
And what happened that night? Because where did he go? Was he just out? Like, who knows what time they were out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or how long it was before he went back?
Yeah. I feel like there's something that he did not share with his friends. There's something more to that night. So do you think there's a possibility he's still alive?
No. Well, okay, no. It's not that no. I think, yes, there's a possibility he's still alive. Would I bet money on it? Would that be my leading theory? No.
Right.
My leading theory
is always the possibility someone's alive.
Yeah, no, and I think this case, he could be.
Yeah.
I think there's this, again, this is a case where, you know, it's more likely than a lot of situations that he could be alive.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're asking me which theory do I lean towards most, I think he's probably dead, unfortunately. I hate saying that because these are people. I mean, he's got a mom and he had a girlfriend as well. But I just feel like he may have like succumbed to either the elements or. Yeah, but if he is deceased, I don't believe somebody killed him. I think that what he was going through was in his head.
Yeah,
that's my thought. What about you?
I think that your theory definitely holds its ground and is very plausible. But I am still leaning towards someone really was after him. After they lost the video footage of him, though, I don't know. I don't know if it's possible whether he's alive or dead. I think.
What do you mean the loss? What do you mean when they lost the video
footage? So they like the video showed him running off into the forest, and that's the last thing that we see.
Oh yeah, yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now he's in the forest. He could have been trying to hide from whoever and succumb to the elements. He could have been caught by whoever was trying to pursue him and killed. I don't know.
I would like to know the motive.
Yeah, yeah. And I have no idea what that could be. But I think it's got to be more than just a dispute over football.
Yeah, I agree. I just can't see a dispute like that, like leading to something as drastic as hiring somebody to kill somebody or killing somebody in general.
Right. Because I think he was acting erratically because he knew that these people were after him and he was nervous. And he knew that he really screwed something up. I just don't know what that could be. He's mixed with the wrong crowd somehow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But a head injury, you know?
Right, right, yeah.
That, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we'll do a part two on him.
One minute and 43 seconds is dedicated to my number one fan. Thanks, Dad. I love you and I miss you. This podcast has been approved by Skipper the Cat. Right, Skippy?